Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my lovely co-host, Squirrel Rourke. Hi, Squirrel.
Hi, Jackie. Hi, everyone, on this beautiful evening. Thanks for joining us.
He's got you really low, Squirrel.
He does.
Seth?
I hear some sort of background thing going on, too, in my voice. Like an
echo. Okay, I can hear you better now.
Okay, thank you. Let me know.
All right, tonight this is a live transmission for 2/20/14, February the 20th, 2014. Your questions are always welcome, and please try to keep them on topic. You can email them to Squirrel now during the show at squirrel@wyom.net. And I know we do have questions for tonight.
We do. We have some great questions for tonight.
Yes,
a good topic tonight, right, Jackie and the team. This is awesome.
Well, tonight's topic, people who are your greatest challenge and our catalyst growth. We all have people in our lives that feel like a challenge. Why did I pick this friend, lover, husband, wife, or family member? And what is it about them that I find challenging? What feelings are they triggering in me? These relationships are the catalyst to your forward momentum. They are in your life to help you get clear and heal issues that will move you forward into the life that you've only dreamed possible. When you can see them as an opportunity for growth and further self-exploration, you will see them as the gift that they are. The caveat, you may then decide you prefer not to have them in your life, but only when you are ready to see and use the gift that they are bringing to you. You may decide it's an opportunity to work with your beliefs and dig deeper into your sub and unconscious, to clear old patterns, to see them for the gift that they are, even when it feels challenging and you question why you've chosen the experience. So the team, of course, is always going to share their loving insights and support for our journey tonight. And Squirrel, you've got an astrology report.
Of course I do. I'm excited about this show. I need some clarification on this, too, because there are people in my life that drive me crazy, so I know it has something to do with me, not them. We'll find out. All right, astrology. This comes from Elizabeth Carew, and she says the next 24 hours, we've just had another 11 master day. That's today. Have you felt the good vibes of opportunity that you created for yourself return back to you? There have been a few 11 master days in February, signaling it to be a month of reward and spiritual evolution. And we sure have felt that thanks to the mega solar flares this month, pushing us along to dig deep and find our answers within. As we head into the next 24 hours, the energy is a little more stable. We are still in Mercury retrograde for another week, so this is taking up much of the focus of our day. In the last week of this Mercury retrograde, get very clear about how you communicate with yourself. You may need to clean up emails and all online accounts. Delete any messages you've been holding onto that are negative and make you feel bad. Let go of the old energy. Change what needs updating. Take back your power. Feel super for it. Follow up with anyone who is delaying, right? I know. I keep old emails and I'm thinking, or text messages, and I'm thinking, delete those. That's just negative stuff that you're carrying around. And I'm thinking, all right, well, you know, if they really need to get back to me, they will. But for right now, I'm deleting you. Love that delete button. Okay. Follow up with anyone who is delaying contacting you, particularly if it's an important matter. If you are the delayer, jump onto your responsibilities and get into action. Take the initiative. Show you are not afraid of facing what is yours and thriving from it. It's an excellent period in which to overhaul online profiles, websites, blogs, advertising materials, pay and sort out bills, do your taxes, and get all your administration work up to scratch. We have one more week whereby we are super thorough and are being supported to be very succinct in how we present ourselves to the world. Practice authenticity and reflect it in your outer image too. Trust this assists you and keeps you on track in making the most the next 7 days. Off you go. So there you go.
Beautiful.
I know.
All right.
Right?
It's very, very apropos. So I'm going to share this message with you that triggered tonight's show, in addition to my own experiences. But this comes from darling H.J., one of our great people. Dear Jackie, had to send you this message I read just now because it resonates with your latest BBS radio session and our session just prior to your show. This is from last week. And the theme you and the team speak of, self-love and relationships and divine timing. Things are converging and accelerating, I feel, see below. Okay, this is called Your Past Lives and Relationships in 2014. Importance of Past Life Seeds, and it's by Celestia. Within you from past lives are the seeds of your current and future relationships. If this sounds like a stretch of the imagination, consider the following. From the time you were in your mother's womb, you were being conditioned by the world, learning how to relate to your circumstances, to other people, and even to yourself. Woven between much of this conditioning were seeds of your ancient past. These seeds, holding potentials of what you could and would become, came with you. They were part of a package of energy encoded in your very DNA. Some are quite beneficial, such as those helping you to be patient with others, and some seeds can hold you back, like those causing you to distrust others without justification. Seeds from your past lives. Where did these seeds come from? They originated from your past, including your own past lives, ancestral material from your family lineage, and even from the vast, evolving mass consciousness of humanity. That last category is really huge. Okay, the mass consciousness, collective consciousness. And must be considered part of your past, present, and future potential. Everyone you meet also carries seeds of potentials impacting relationships. This doesn't automatically mean that each person in your life is from a past life. However, given the immense interconnections people experience during a series of lifetimes, it's actually quite common to reincarnate with many of the same people. Aunt Mary today could have been your sister Elizabeth in the 1800s. Your current boss, Steve, could have been your father, John, in the 1600s. Your neighbor, Sylvia, today being your mother, Rebecca, that same life. Likewise, your significant other this life could have been your romantic partner or family member in several other key lifetimes. Your cat could have even been with you in another life, too. These examples are all part of the dance of reincarnation. You being energetically drawn to certain people and situations. The importance of past life seeds in 2014. If you are already familiar with this concept, perhaps having had numerous tangible deja vu experiences, why is this more important now in 2014? First, this is a horse year with lots of fire energy. This means increased momentum and an accelerated wake-up call timetable. To translate this on a personal level, it means that you will likely feel an intense drive to clean up unfinished past business so you can have good relationships. Intuitively, you know that how you relate to others will be instrumental in your overall success. When you understand your past is more than just this life and that the person you're interacting with quite likely was in some key past lives, you have an enhanced perception of the bigger picture. This can make it easier to pinpoint issues, including DNA patterns, that need to be resolved before you can have loving relationships. The more loving you become in 2014, the higher your frequency, and this helps you manifest success on numerous levels. Second, a fire year like 2014 can bring you countless opportunities you didn't have access to before. You will benefit most from the open doors of opportunity when you can hold and broadcast the loving energy within you, to loved ones, to colleagues, and to strangers. You never know where the next opportunity may come from. Relationships are the catalyst to your forward momentum. If you could energetically track opportunities, you would notice that many times they originate with a person far removed from your personal circles. Something that person does or says catalyzes an idea or an action in someone else. There is then a cascading effect, beneficial openings seemingly arriving at your door in a direct way. At first, they may not even look like opportunities. Example, you may be offered a job training program that on the surface seems interesting, but it may not speak to your heart. Perhaps you have your sights set on a whole new line of work, and it's difficult for you to get inspired by anything at your job. If you check in with your heart, though, you may sense that there is a bigger purpose to accepting the training. At the training, or perhaps because of taking the training, you could meet a helpful person who had a close bond with you in another life. This person, without even knowing why, could be energetically drawn to assist you now. Third, this year will be understood in hindsight as one of the great changes across the world and within people. It's like the dial on the change meter moved to high, or at least the highest experienced in a half century. As a divine change maker, your role is to be at the forefront of this accelerated phase of change. No matter what other jobs you have or what you do with your time, your most important activity is to master loving relationship. This begins with you as you develop increasing self-confidence, empowerment, and self-love. Those qualities are developed as you uncover and clear past life patterns involving love and relationship. You then have access to the most powerful antidote in existence, love. You then apply the love antidote in your life to each and every relationship. Do not underestimate your power to change your personal circumstances and the world. Trust that spirit right by your side, bringing you the people and situations needed to create an amazing life. This piece has special significance to me. As always.
Really?
As I've been dealing with an issue that has disturbed me greatly since moving back to California. I have a dear friend that became a significant part of my life at a very critical time in my experience. She was so wonderful to me, and I learned so much from just observing her family. She was a great example of personal boundaries, which I'd never been taught nor learned. In addition, she was there for me through many challenges. She's a very loving and nurturing person. What is so interesting to me is that at this time, she's pushing the very boundaries that she taught me to have. At least that's my perception. So I had to really sit with this one.
Wait, can you explain that a little bit more, what that means?
For as much as she taught me about boundaries, because I didn't, you know, growing up the way I did, I didn't develop boundaries. I didn't even know what they were. And living in all the different homes and so on, you have no boundaries. You just have to try to fit in as fast as you can.
Of course,
and
yeah.
Try to please everybody around you. It was survival, okay? So Rita taught me about boundaries. One of the first statements she made was that she thought I had been raised by wolves, okay? Which wasn't too far from the truth.
I was going to say...
So she taught me about boundaries, really, and not only verbally but by example. When I say she's pushing the boundaries that I learned from her, and I'll go into it in a minute, Squirrel, because as I move through this, it kind of explains why. But in a nutshell, I projected onto her, which started a kind of situation. When you project onto somebody, I projected mother onto her. That's where we got into trouble. So let me go on here.
Okay.
We have a very strong past life connection, and I realized that I had projected mom onto her, even though she's younger than I am. Age is not a prerequisite for projection. How you perceive someone is. And in many ways, she acted like that. She was, you know, she was... someone that, as I was going through tremendous trauma, she was right there and solid. Now we're triggering each other. And I absolutely know that there's learning for me here. And part of the learning is the danger of projection. When we project a parent onto another, we secretly look for validation from them. If it's withheld, we feel slighted. Also, if they get angry with us, we react in an exaggerated way. Our adolescent takes over. Our child takes over. I personally am fascinated with the entire situation because that's what I do. You know, I live it, and then I stand back from it, and I try to assess it and try to figure out how the hell it got here. You know?
Yeah, right.
And the fact that it's triggering me, okay? Because I always know it's an opportunity to share something with others that they may be dealing with in some capacity, okay? I've also come to realize that she also projects mother onto me and has even verbalized it. So, wait a minute, you know, is that even possible? Can two people project mother onto each other? Because that's a setup for never feeling validated or secure, because you can't be mother to each other. It doesn't work. But it does happen. So here I am with a list of what is wrong with this relationship. I need validation. She doesn't even believe in what I do. Oops. I'm devastated when she gets angry at me. This is dangerous because it keeps me from expressing my feelings openly. And I have an emotional attachment to what she says and does that keeps the relationship from being free and easy. If I'm invested in pleasing her or what she says to me, then the relationship is no longer healthy, okay? So I worry about disappointing her. The projection was placed years ago when I was in a very vulnerable place, no home, cancer, no money, I was on and on and on, okay? So finally, she asked me to do something that wasn't good for me. In the past, I've done things for people to help them which created problems for me that I was left to deal with. Not a loving thing to do for myself. Here's the lesson, okay? So finally I got that this was about boundaries. Loving myself enough to say no. And I did it and was able to tell her why without worrying about whether she would be angry, which she was, okay? Well, I felt badly that I'd let her down, but my love of myself was strong enough do the right thing for me. And for me, this was a major breakthrough. We all have these situations in varying degrees with people that we're invested with. And this is where the relationships get real squeaky. Now, whether
I just want to say one thing. I mean, okay, so you come in and you're going to have this relationship and the experience that this friend gifted to you, right? Because it's a gift. And, you know, I think it'd be easier to have these experiences if we didn't think these people would get pissed off with us. But they do. And so that's why I think very often we hesitate to have a confrontation. But the confrontation is what we need to have, set the boundaries. But why can't people just say, oh, you know what? Good for you. You figured it out. I'm so happy for you. This is why I'm here to help you.
Well, it doesn't quite work like that.
They get angry.
Well, although that would be ideal, but it doesn't work that way.
No, apparently. I know it doesn't. I'm just saying.
You wish they would.
I totally do. Anyway, go on. Someone else out there is feeling the same way as I know that.
Absolutely. Squirrel, I understand this. I have a very powerful past life connection with this woman and her husband and their children, and our children are all connected. So it's a very strong connection. I knew it from the moment I met them. There was never a question in my mind. But, you see, ultimately, the gift that she's giving me is teaching me that I can no longer have relationships that are weighted like that and be true to myself. I can't go out and teach people if I'm over here playing around with something that is unhealthy. And I can't have the loving relationship I want to have with this person if I've weighted it with a projection, because it'll always be distorted.
Right.
So anyway, I did tell her no, and I was able to tell her why without worrying about whether she would be angry. This was a big one for me. I felt badly that I had to let her down, but my love of myself was strong enough to do the right thing for me, and that was my breakthrough. And Squirrel, you've had one like this.
I have. It's almost like we're twins.
Yes,
I have had that recently. But, it went the same way yours did. It didn't go well.
Well, but...
I mean, it didn't go as well,
again,
maybe I should say.
This has turned around.
Mine hasn't turned around yet.
It will.
Okay.
We're fine, and it all worked out. We both got things off our chest, which was very healthy. I know without a doubt that this was a great gift, unequivocally. And I thank her silently all the time. I will sit her down and explain what really happened for me. I've explained some of it very soon. And it will help us both. Right now, we've both been very busy. The mother projection is lifted, and I'm in the process of changing beliefs to be certain that the relationship remains peaceful, loving, and healthy. For both of us. For both of us. Okay? We're all confronted with situations and people that trigger us, every one of us, whether it's a love relationship, somebody at work, someone in our lives, our children. I've gone through years. I have a very strong daughter, and I have come to love her totally. When I don't agree with her, I tell her, but the way I tell her is in a loving way. I don't confront her. I'm very careful that she doesn't feel judged. But she also knows my boundaries, okay? And if she crosses one of my boundaries, I tell her, Michelle, I'm sorry, you're not allowed to go there. But I don't do it with anything caustic. I have learned with my children how to speak with them and deal with them, because I'm not invested in them doing what I think they should.
Right.
They are not an extension of me, so I don't have anything riding on it, including my own image. This is where parents get into trouble with kids, okay? We've all had situations with lovers where we've allowed them to go further than we should, mainly because, and Squirrel and I were talking about this earlier, have projected savior, okay, Prince Charming, the White Knight, whatever it may be, okay, and for men, the goddess, etc., onto these people. And they're not going to be able to live up to that, and you've weighted the relationship, because as soon as you do that, you're no longer comfortable telling them the truth, because you'll lose your White Knight, you'll lose your goddess, you'll lose your protector, you'll lose your savior. And so then you start putting up with things, bearing your own feelings, and eventually end up resenting them, and then you end up in a passive-aggressive relationship.
I think it would have been better if we'd all been hatched instead of birthed.
Well, we're also clearing the collective
exactly.
relationships between the patriarchal masculine and the feminine, the divine feminine. This is the divine masculine, divine feminine, to bring it into balance. So this is a time where things are going to be more dicey than ever before. We won't be able to tolerate it like we used to. It just won't be comfortable. But it's not about the other person. It's about us. And that's the one we need to get very, very clear about. It's all about us. When we change our beliefs, when we change our projections, And when we change what we've invested in them, because we tend to invest in people, we tend to expect them to fulfill a certain need in our life. But without that honesty, without the ability to confront it, you're not going to have a healthy relationship. You can't. Now, my daughter is an extreme. She'll tell people right out, you know. She's tough.
I wonder where she gets that.
I'm not that, well, I'm tough, but not that.
Yeah, you are. You are
I'm
in your own
way,
roller. Of course.
Yeah, I am tough. In some ways, I am tough, but I'm very loving.
You are.
I did a session today on someone, and I was crying because the beings that showed up for them were so beautiful. The love was so extraordinary, and then I had to say to them afterwards, do not tell people that I'm a crybaby. In a bush.
No,
so remember, with the other people, you will miss the point if you go into blame or victim. This also goes back to Debbie Ford's book, The Dark Side of the Night Chasers, about things that trigger us. Why do they trigger us? It's triggering something within us. Not within them, within us. And we need to get in touch with what that is. And so much of this year is about taking back our power from everything. But we can do it lovingly. We don't have to be mean. We don't have to be brutal. We don't have to be sharp-tongued. We can still do it lovingly. And most of all, be loving to yourself. And this is where I think people are remiss. And everything that's showing up in our lives right now is an opportunity to heal more deeply, to enable us to be more loving to ourselves and to others. If we go to blame or victim about another person, pointing the finger at them being wrong, you're going to miss the opportunity. And it'll make you sad down the road, I promise you. Because every opportunity for healing right now is an amazing opportunity. And it's moving so quickly. You absolutely don't have a choice.
I have a question, Jackie.
Yes.
I agree with that, and I think a lot of people are trying to do that, set boundaries and eliminate people that no longer serve their highest purpose. And I think, you know, for myself, I wonder, I know it's good for me, but maybe I can't really see it in my external world yet as good for me. Sometimes it feels very isolating for a while.
Well, you're not throwing people away, squirrel. You are saying, this doesn't work for me this way. I'm going to change the way I am in the relationship, and I'm going to change the way I allow the relationship to be as it affects me. If you give it time, generally you're going to see people come back around in a different way. And notice I said generally, okay? There are some people, okay, if they're alcoholics, drug abusers, and so on, it may not work until they do something about healing themselves. So be clear with that. If you're talking about people who have substance abuse issues, okay, they have to clean that up unless they're, you know, really advanced souls and can say, you know, look, I'm clean and sober and I you know, won't react or in a whatever way.
Okay.
But you know, does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it totally does. I just want to make sure my negative ego isn't getting in the way about, okay, so you're making all these changes and what are you seeing for it? That's all.
You're seeing that you're being more loving to yourself.
Okay.
And that you will attract people who are more in alignment with who you are now. Because what you just said takes you back to victim.
Exactly.
Oh, sure,
and
I did the right thing. Now look at me, I'm alone. What?
Right. And I, you know, we don't want to go there. No, none of us do. I know that deep down.
No, absolutely not, because you're going to attract another perpetrator.
Right.
If you play victim, you're going to attract people who are going to keep you in that role. It's just the way it works. Okay? You're the creator of your reality, no exceptions. Only from that place can you change everything in your life. I recommend that you sit down and write some beliefs around, I attract lots of people into my life who are loving and, you know, open and blah, blah, blah. And really work with that. People can get caught up in, hold on.
Okay.
Look at what I did, now I should get this. And, you know, the universe does not work that way, just in case you're wondering. That's counterintuitive, okay? There's not somebody up there with a clipboard saying, ah, squirrel did that. Okay, let's send her somebody.
No, I know that. And I just know, I feel that many of us are making these significant decisions and being loving towards ourselves. You know, I, for one, do not want to become discouraged, and I hope no one else is, too, because I know it will turn around. It will show up, and you know how I always play a little bit of devil's advocate just to make it interesting. But that's, I think it's good to stay with that. You know, anytime you can take your power back and go forward on your journey, it will reflect into your life.
Well, and love yourself mm-hmm. in the process. You see, in a way, you haven't gotten to that feeling of really loving yourself.
You're talking about me personally now?
Really? Sorry?
You're talking about me personally?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Go on. Yeah, you can use me as an example.
Okay, so what I'm saying to you in response to what you had just said, mm-hmm. until you can get to that point of really embracing yourself, really honoring yourself and loving yourself, it's the loving piece that you're not embracing as much. You honor what you did, but there's a belief in there somewhere that if I do the right thing, I'm going to lose something. That's
okay.
The one I recommend that you go in and change.
Absolutely.
Okay, makes sense?
It totally makes sense. So
there's an
you.
Underlying belief in there somewhere, Squirrel, that needs to be changed because... there's still a belief you're giving up something. Okay, now where am I going to get something else? Okay, and there isn't that celebration of loving yourself, embracing yourself more, and transferring all that love to you, which is where it needs to go, and feeling good about yourself and really loving yourself, saying, good job, Squirrel, I'm so proud of you, I love you, okay? Without taking it to the other person. Some people are not going to remain in your life, period. But,
you know, that might be a really good thing.
Lots of loving people.
Absolutely. So,
okay.
Well, you know what? You probably, if
yes,
you're willing
go
to go in
channel here.
Yeah, we've got a lot of questions, so and we want to get to them.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, well, she's burying her soul again. All right. Welcome, everyone. Welcome, Squirrel.
Thank you.
We're very happy to be with all of you tonight. And this is a wonderful subject. We don't have a lot of time to speak because we have questions. We think that the subject was covered very well. Very significant time. Very significant time. Please pay attention to all opportunities coming to you, even if they're uncomfortable. Remember that. You have synchronicity showing up all around you right now. And some of you may not be paying attention to them because you're focused on what didn't work. So we remind you, focus on what's wonderful and expect it to show up in your life. Stay open to it and allow for it. Be in the flow of every moment, knowing that you are supported by the universe. It can be no other way. Don't worry about a specific thing, although you can do different programs to around specific things. However, we have one person that got a job and he was using Bonnie's, 60-second manifestor. He was thrilled. However, choose how you want to feel and let the universe deliver more than you could have imagined. I choose to feel loving today, and I will absolutely carry that energy. Fill yourself with love before you leave the house. Just feel so loving, filled with light. Because it's who you are. And you allow things in your life to change dramatically when you do that. We've been talking about this ad nauseum over and over. And now, in this extraordinary year, almost 2 months in, that's how fast it's moving, we encourage you to take advantage of every extraordinary moment. Don't miss a thing if you can. And be in joy, knowing that if you have a challenge, there isn't anything going on in your life that you can't handle. Even with illness, and we say that with the greatest of love, people, not to be flippant. But in this year, amazing things can show up in your life to change your life. All right, Squirrel, you've got questions.
I do. This question comes from Liz, and she writes, I realize that those people who are our greatest challenges are ones we bring to us for learning. What tips or techniques do you have for the fastest way to understanding the lesson they are teaching so we can quickly return to peace and calm?
Oh, Liz, thank you. Well, first of all, how do they make you feel? Write it down. This is what I feel when I'm around them. All right, they make me angry. Why? How? What is it? How does it threaten your happiness? How does it threaten your sense of well-being? Then look within yourself, all right? Within your own shadow, all right? What is it that they're doing that is also within you that you've not dealt with somewhere in your own shadow? Or does it trigger your feelings around people not treating you with respect or lovingly or whatever the case must be, maybe? Write it down. And then how do you feel about it? All right? Now, they're in your life for a reason, obviously. How could you respond differently to them? Either by taking your power, looking for any projections you may have on them. This is an important piece, by the way. Do you have unreasonable expectations where they're concerned, or do you have judgments on them? Have you already decided that they're prickly to you? And why? And then start changing beliefs. What do you believe about this person? All right? And about the way people treat you. Now, you can do belief changing around this particular person, or you could do it in general. But look for the theme and really ask yourself, why is this person in my life? All right? Do I sense that I have a past life connection with them? All right? Now, truly, truly, you're creating it all right? Rather than looking at them, you're creating it all. Or you're allowing it. What are you allowing? When you find your voice, dear Liz, and you sit them down and say, look, all right, but this is what it comes to where you need to do that. We're not taking good care of each other. We're not good stewards of each other. And this is the reason I say that. What do you feel that I'm not doing for you? But we recommend you change your beliefs first. What is it about this person that triggers you? Seriously. Again, look for a projection. Do they not validate you? Do they not make you feel good? Do you feel that they judge you? Oh, there's a big one. People judge me. Change the belief. People disappoint me. That may be a big one for you. Okay? If this person tends to disappoint you in different ways. Disappointment is a very loaded situation. I don't think they're loving. Okay. Are you always loving to people? You see, go back and look at you. This is about your relationship with that person, whether it's a male or a female, doesn't matter. Change the beliefs, write some intentions, and see what happens. All right, now, when we say that, we mean that. All right, you don't change people, you can only change your response to them. And by changing you, you can find that you align with a different version of them and have a much different relationship. Regardless of who it is, and we would say that even about in-laws and so on. Do it in the most loving way you can, but also honest with yourself. Beliefs can change everything. But also look at your shadow issues. What's it triggering in you? Well, that's the way my mom used to treat. Oh. So you've got some mom stuff in there. Look at the projection. Did I project mom onto this person without realizing it, or dad? Often happens in male-female relationships, by the way. Because that's just what you do. Liz, we hope we've helped you with understanding this. Ultimately, all right, we know this is difficult for a lot of people to sit down and actually tell someone how you feel. So we'll just share this one incident. The channel had a person that she knew to be a little manipulative, all right. Was actually an Indian guru that she enjoyed because it was quite funny, but he was somewhat manipulative, and he was coming to town, and she was very upset that he was coming way far from where they used to live to the town that she loved. This is many years ago. And she couldn't understand why it was triggering her so much. And at the time, she was reading Debbie Ford's book, Dark Side of the Light, Jesus. And it finally struck her. It was her judgment on people who did not present the truth of who they were when they held themselves to be a spiritual teacher. And her fear that they would influence people in this little town that she was in. And once she got that, she was able to let it go. And then see this person clearly for the joyful being that he was, and that people were always transformed by his presence, by his mere presence, because his energy was so filled with joy. And when she took that judgment off about spiritual teachers that misled people, and the fear she had about protecting the unknown others, it completely changed. And interestingly enough, this person was there for her. The night before her surgery, he called and sang Sanskrit blessings onto her recorder, which was a beautiful gift. And they were able to spend some time, very joyful time together. But she got it. All right. Next question, dear one.
Yes. This is from Yolanda, and she writes, about 3 years ago, my sister and I had a falling out over a misunderstanding. I often thought to myself, is something wrong with me? Then I asked myself this really important question. What is missing across each of these failed attempts at our relationship? And then it hit me, vulnerability. We both lack this extremely important trait. I decided to email her an apology letter asking her to forgive me for whatever I had done to her. Now we are on speaking terms, but I can feel her being distant. I feel like she is my challenge. What I find challenging about her is that she tries to keep her distance from me, and she won't allow me in her life like before. The feeling she triggers in me is that she does not want to be a part of my life or my family's anymore, especially my daughter's. Is this relationship the catalyst to move forward with my momentum?
Oh, it's a good question, Yolanda. All right, now, we will tell you what the real issue is here. The real issue is around your mother. You are two women who still compete for your mother's attention. And so, consequently, you've kind of moved into two different camps. Okay? There is some passive-aggressive behavior both of you have as it relates to each other. She does things for your mother that you're not able to do, and it makes you feel less than, and that you're not as loved by your mother because of that. So there is this underlying theme of competition that keeps the relationship from having an equal sharing and vulnerability. So look at it this way. You're like two adolescents competing for mom. Okay? Actually, more like children, but we'll go with the adolescent. For mom's attention. Now, mom doesn't help the situation either. Because mom is overtly nicer to the daughter who gives her financial support. We point these things out to you, Yolanda, so that you can understand that if you take your mother out of the equation, the two of you could have a better relationship. But you must take that jealousy out of there. That feeling of not being as valuable, not being loved as much. And that's a big challenge. We know that you're up to it. And love your sister for who she is. You see, your mom's not going to be around forever, dear. Your sister and you have a lot more longevity together than you will with your mother. Do what you can to repair the relationship. But also, look at the way you feel about her. She has more than me. It's not fair. She gets to buy mom's love. It's not fair. She has more influence with mom. It's not fair. And until you can put the relationship on an even keel to where it doesn't matter what she does for mom, where you're not feeling any of that, this is a big, you know, big issue and a big, it's going to take some work and some belief changing. But you can do it. You can do it, but you have to stop feeling like you're less than. You are just as lovable. All right? And if you truly love your sister, then show her without being needy. Send her little notes. Email her, whatever. And change your beliefs, dear one. Very, very, very important about how you see yourself in relationship to your sister and to your mother. As long as you feel you have to compete with your sister for your mom's love, that's always going to be in the way, and your sister feels it. Again, a great opportunity for you to change some beliefs and to love yourself and to know that you're valuable and that your value is not about money. You're loving, you're caring. Stop feeling not good enough. And Lazarus has a wonderful tape on that very subject called the Stop Feeling Not Good Enough. We highly recommend that you go online and you can download it onto your computer and listen to it. Excellent tape. All right, dear one, we love you. Thank you so much for your question. And Liz, thank you, dear one. All right, squirrel.
Well, we do have another question, which may need to wait till next week as we are running out of time.
All right, well, we know you're loaded with questions, so if you have a brief one, go ahead.
Well, this is kind of brief, and maybe we just need to close. So this comes from Sandra, and she just wants to know what you can do to deal with a difficult colleague and foster more positive relations.
All right. So here's what we recommend, Sandra. Look at what you believe about her, all right, and feeling victimized, all right? Your mother has been very tough on you and very undermining. And what we see, even though you don't realize it, you have a belief around women, all right, based on mom, that they can be undermining. Now, this may be a man, but this is what we're seeing. Be very clear about not projecting that onto her. And this means that you need to, one, change some beliefs. Okay, women undermine me, or men, depending on what it is. To recognize that somewhere in there you're projecting mom, because that's what you do as humans, onto this person. not necessarily mom herself, but the fact that women have undermined me. And the only woman that's really been very dominant in your life has been your mother. Take that projection off. Flood her with love. You can do a meditation and call this person in with their higher self behind them and your higher self and talk with her in meditation. Look, I really do care about you, and I would love to create a loving relationship together, a healthy relationship. All right? Tell whatever you need to say. But also, Sandra, make certain that you change your beliefs about women or men as it relates to people who are undermining to you.
And we're going to have to say, I'm sorry, we're going to have to say goodnight.
All right. All right, dear one. Thank you, Sandra. All right. We would love to work with all of you tonight. In fact, over the next couple of nights, we're going to help bring up some things in your dream time and possibly in your daytime to help you see more clearly where relationships that may have been troublesome for you are really about you and what you need to learn, and to play with the ideas of seeing the issue, clearing it within yourself, taking proactive steps if it means to working with a child and adolescent, do so, and watch them start to transform, and it can happen very quickly. Know that we love all of you so very much. A joy for us to be with you, as it always is. And until we speak with you next week, enjoy your time. Love yourself. And look at every situation as an opportunity, because it is. Our love to each and every one of you. Namaste.
Namaste.
Okay, I can't see the clock. Good night, everybody. I'm sure it's close.
It's close.
Love you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you, Squirrel.
Thank you.
I love you.
Thank you, everyone. Good night, everyone. I love you.